Bandwidth for the Daily GizWiz is provided by AOL Radio at AOL.com/podcasting. It's time for the Daily GizWiz with Mads Maddest writer Dick DiBartolo. This is episode 60 for May 12th, 2006. The UMIG P8 Phonomat 8 millimeter projector. This is your announcer, Leo Laporte, speaking. And now, get ready for Dick. Don't be afraid. It's time to walk with me as we cross the floor, head to the top of the stairs, and look down. What's below? It's the classic gadget warehouse. And at the bottom of the stair, the classic gadget master himself, Dick DiBartolo. I'm coming down, Dick. Turn on the light. What? Oh!
You got to stop that.
I told you, Leo, steps 3, 6, and 9 are missing.
I have to remember
it's
that.
It's a trick.
If it's divisible by 3, don't step.
That's it. It's the only way to keep this valuable stuff from being ripped off.
I didn't need that ankle anyway. It's okay.
Well, here
we are once again, 60 meters below the surface of the street, 30 meters above the subway system. So we're just kind of right in between in the classic gadget warehouse.
We are. And today we're talking about the UMIG 8mm P8 photo matte projector.
You know, I sometimes look at the titles of these, and I know people do this on iTunes saying, should I listen to this one? And you can't tell from what the title is what the hell we're talking about. The UMIG.
The UMIG P8 Phonomat. A Phonomat 8mm projector.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Good night. That's it. Okay. All right. It sounds like it's a film projector.
It is a film projector with a giant difference.
Yes.
You thread up the film, and we're talking 8mm film, not 8mm. Not video tape.
Yeah.
Okay. So you thread up your 8mm film, and the leader of the film must have a mark on it. And you put the mark on the start mark on the projector.
Yes.
You take a reel-to-reel tape recorder that uses the quarter-inch tape. The supply reel has your tape on it. And it goes through the recording heads of your tape machine.
Yes.
But then it goes up to the projector.
Mm.
The projector has a series of wheels.
Oh.
You thread the tape all through these wheels and then back onto the supply reel of the tape machine. You click the projector into forward and nothing happens. But
and
wait.
For that, you spent $1,000.
No, there's more.
Yes.
There's more.
Yes.
You click the tape machine to start, and as the tape starts, it starts the projector.
Ooh.
The tape is actually controlling the speed of the projector.
Yes.
Which means you can do a crude but accurate synchronization.
Of the audio to the picture.
Of the audio to the picture.
Is this because... Now, I'm showing my ignorance here. So the 8mm films had no audio.
No, they had no audio. And Leo, back when I was a kid, I used to make all these elaborate movies. And then when I joined Mark Goodson, Bill Todman Productions to start the Match Game, one of the people there, Ray Pichon, said, let's do something exciting, because... I said, I used to make these home movies. She said, let's make an elaborate home movie. So I said,
All right. That's fun.
So we made a takeoff on How the West Was Won. And what I did was I kept an 8mm camera in one of the dressing rooms at the Match Game. And the Match Game, you would tape the whole week of the Match Game was taped in one day. Tape 2 shows, hour and a half break, tape 3 shows. And during that hour and a half breaks, the celebrities would just hang around and we would bring lunch in. And I would just say to the celebrities, do you have 10 minutes to just do a little fun thing for an 8mm movie I'm doing? And so we had Peggy Cass and the Kitty Carl Island, Bennett Cerf, and Henry Morgan and Gene Rayburn, and all in this 8mm film. And Ray said, let's do something crazy to show it. I said, how about a black tie opening? So we rented a ballroom. At a hotel, which we got for a song because, you know, back then, Mark Goodson, Bill Todman, those were names.
They still
everybody,
are.
You know.
Sure.
And we had a world premiere, black tie. And there was a person who appeared all the time on What's My Line called Dorothy Kilgallen.
Oh, yes. She was the great gossip columnist.
Yes. And she said, Dick, you did this as a hoot. Guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to write it up in the newspaper as though it were a real film.
Oh, no.
So she wrote this thing. There's a new director in town. Forget Hollywood. To keep right.
No, really? Do you have this clipping?
Yeah, yes, I do.
Oh, I wish you would scan it in and put it up on the site. I'd love to see this.
And then we started getting mail from people saying, well, can we be in your movie? So we decided to make a musical called 242nd Street, which would be the low-rent version of 42nd Street.
Right.
And we didn't know how to do those overhead Busby Berkeley shots. So Ray, who could talk anybody into anything, called a helicopter company.
Oh, my gosh.
And said, what does it cost for 20 minutes in a helicopter? And the guy said, it's $50. We want to see the Statue of Liberty? What do you want? She said, no, we just want to go straight up and hover. And we want to bring 24 girls and have them lay on the heliport. And the guy said, what?
And their hair is blowing.
Right. She said, we want to do a production number. And the guy said, well, this is so loony that we'll do it for free.
Oh, that's great.
So we made this bizarre movie.
Does the movie exist anywhere?
The movie exists. I transferred it to a videotape. And then, of course, to a DVD.
Oh, good.
One day when you're back in town.
I would love to see that.
The thing runs, it got out of hand. We found a guy who worked for a group called the Underground Organ Society. And what they do, at no cost to theaters, is they repair theater organs in old movie houses, even if the movie house doesn't use the organ.
Oh, yeah, because they're classic. They want to keep those alive. Yeah.
Right. And this guy said, well, you know, I keep this organ in repair at the Beacon Theater. And he said, they have a hydraulic stage.
Oh, yeah, rises up. They used to do that.
Yes.
The organist would be playing before the movie. And then when it was time for the movie, he'd disappear below the stage.
Exactly.
And the screen would open.
Exactly. And he said, you know, I go in usually at 2 a.m. to tune the organ up and stuff. So I said, you think we can shoot the onstage scenes there? So that's what we did. At 2 a.m, we would go into this theater.
And did you have them rise up out of the stage?
We had the guy rise up and we made fake program. It was, it's like 8mm gone wild.
And then you had a black tie opening.
A black tie opening, and Leo, we had this woman, Imee Lane, who booked the prizes for The Price is Right. And, I mean, Goodson's gone now, so we can tell this story. She got all the fur coats that they were giving away on The Price is Right. We used all these fur coats in the movie. Now, these days, I'm an animal person, and I'm against fur.
Yeah. But that was a different time. Yeah,
it was a different time. And for that opening, she was the star of the movie. For that opening, she rented Irish wolfhounds, the dogs.
Of course she did.
And Ray, who can talk anybody into anything, got a company to let all the people in the movie pull up in 1930 limousines.
Oh, this is just insane.
It is insane. It is just insane. And Gene Rayburn came to my house to do the narration, and Robert Chu Lewis. And so we have the second gala opening, everybody in black tie, Van Johnson, Audrey Meadows, all these celebrities, and I'm standing on top of a table and on top of the table is a card table, and on top of the card table is my Umig 8mm projector.
That's how you're showing the thing.
That's how I'm showing it, with the reels and the tape and the...
Did it work?
It worked fine. It worked.
It's such a Rube Goldberg. I mean, that is a Rube Goldberg device.
It really is. As a matter of fact, in my little summary that I was just working on yesterday to post on the website before this episode appears, I typed, talk about Rube Goldberg.
Yep. Yep.
But it worked.
That's the amazing thing. And it only had to work once.
Yeah, and it's one of those things I'll never use again.
Right.
But... there is so much history steeped in this little projector. I can't part with it.
Well, so did you get newspaper coverage and everything? I mean,
just Dorothy Kilgallen. You know, and we couldn't show it for money anywhere because we had no releases from anybody.
Right,
you know,
right.
And
so it was I don't know. Is it a different time? But people don't go to that kind of level of effort for practical jokes or to be fun anymore. It seems like that was a different era.
Yeah. Well, you know, Leo, I think first of all, back then, you know, you and I, we kind of work round the clock.
Right.
You know, when we come home, there's no such thing as 9 to 5.
No,
you know, you're preparing for this, you're preparing for that. It's time for Mad. It's time for Power Boat. It's, you know.
Yep.
And back then, I think people did more crazy things. And also, we didn't have that much to occupy our time. You know, there were not 900 channels.
You entertained yourself a little bit more than you used
to,
than you do today. Nowadays, you're just a passive consumer of entertainment.
But in our own little way, Leo, we are bringing back this sort of one-on-one entertainment.
Yeah, because frankly, if you listen to the show, you got to entertain yourself because, you know, we're too busy remembering the past, frankly.
That's right.
We talk amongst yourselves.
Right.
Nick and I are having fun here.
Right, that's right. All these kids are going, Peggy Casket? What?
Oh, they don't know who any of these people are.
Yeah, you got to be at least 40 and above. And you know what? I have one other memory of What's My Line. When the Mark Goodson offices closed after Mark passed away, they were giving out a lot of stuff that was laying around, and I have Arlene Francis's What's My Line mask. Do you remember when the mystery guest came
That's
out?
That's right. That's
and
right.
Arlene's mask had little pearls.
That's
all,
right.
Right.
That's
well,
right.
It is sitting over on my desk.
Oh, that is some history too.
Yeah.
Oh. So you worked on What's My Line as well, or just the Match Game?
I did. I worked
you did.
on What's My Line when it became for a very short time, like a year or two. There was a daytime version.
Right. Right.
And I worked on that because they wanted. They wanted a guy on the show to try and get more inventors, and they knew that even back then I was gadget
crazy. Always that
way. So they said, you know, we need more men to be on.
I feel like in some ways this has come full circle because I think growing up, a lot of my knowledge of pop culture and the pop culture that preceded me by just a few years, but when you're, you know, 10 years old, you don't know anything about 15 years ago.
That caveman technology.
Yeah. All of that came from Mad Magazine. That's where I learned about What's My Line. That's where I learned about all these things.
Well, that's interesting.
And now it's come full circle. Of course, I've seen them since in reruns and so forth. And I think my kids, too, to some degree, that's where they get their knowledge of culture and pop culture is from parody, from satire, from
Mad
Magazine.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And the thing about satire is it only makes sense if you know what the original is.
Well,
so,
but it still can be funny. You guys are so funny. I might not have known who these people were, but I knew I was being amused.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting. We occasionally get letters from kids who say, my parents don't let me see R-rated movies, but when I read the Mad Takeoff on an R-rated movie, I kind of get the gist of what the film was about.
Right, right, right. I love it. Anyway. Well, Dick, it's always a pleasure. It's been a great week of wonderful gadgets.
Boy, what week was this again?
Well, let's see. It's the show 60, so 60 12, our 12th week
Holy
is now complete.
Cow, okay.
Yeah, hard to believe, but it's been great, and we're coming back with 61 next week.
More
gadgets. Thank you, Dick. Visit gizwizbiz.com for more information. Oh, and our new site, thedailygizwiz.com. Yes. And now, how do we get out of this cellar here? It's just a, 3, 6, well, and 9 don't work, right?
So 3, 6, and 9 don't work.
One,
go
four,
back up. That's it. That's it.
All right.
I have to hit this remote, and then the door will open.
See you, Dick.
Okay, bye. Right, bye.
Don't stay too long down there.
Okay, bye.